With Marina Schweitzer, welcome. Athlete Power on the Rise, this was the title of this fall's Play the Game conference in Colorado Springs. And I was able to talk to three athletes, representatives of three different organizations. Athletes worldwide are coming together, forming new sorts of representation bodies. They're fighting for more independence and more rights. In some countries, they have obtained a loosening of the Rule 40, a rule within the Olympic Charter that restricts the marketing rights of athletes during the period around Olympic Games. This is only one example. Rebellion or obedience? Where are athletes headed? We will discuss this with Emma Terho, former Finnish ice hockey player and member of the IOC Athletes Commission, Becky Scott, former Canadian cross-country skier and outgoing chair of the Athletes Committee of the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, and Moritz Geisreiter, former speed skater and member of the independent German Association Athletes Germany. Thank you, everybody, for being here. To begin with, I'm really interested in your concrete experience. How are you experiencing any athlete power being on the rise right now? Maybe starting with Becky, or do you feel it at all?
Thank you for inviting me to speak here. I do think the athlete power is on the rise, and I think we have seen this most significantly in the last 2 years. And probably, I think one of the events that kicked it off, of course, was the Russian doping scandal. And there was such an uprising, an outcry from the athlete community over the way that it was handled and managed. So I think in a way there was a silver lining to that, because it did galvanize the athlete community to start to speak up, just to make their rights known. And we're seeing all kinds of branches and commissions and committees emerging out of that landscape with stronger voices, and I think the recognition that there is power in the athlete's voice.
Moritz, from what I understand, the German Athletes Commission has set free from the NOC and really wanted to be independent starting from that point when the Russia decision happened. How do you feel in Germany, that you have more power, or do you feel like having more power at all?
Thank you. Good point. I think in Germany right now we are really in a new young phase of new form of athlete representation. So we have founded Athlete in Deutschland in late 2017, so about 2 years ago, and we're still in the second year only of this new association, which is now an independent association. So this really has made a big change for us and for the German athletes in general, I think. But not only for the German athletes, but also beyond Germany. We are sitting here together now and talking about possibilities and talking about the feeling, seeing the athletes rising globally and raising their voice. That is what drives us in Germany just as well. So we have mentioned, Becky has mentioned the Russian doping scandal already. That was one of the main drivers for us to get founded, first of all, too. And now we in Germany have reached a situation where we have established a known independent association with the very same people as who are sitting on the NOC. But still, now we have the chance and opportunity to act freely, way more freely than before. And that opens many doors for us to keep this development pushing, keep it going, push it further forward now. And we're happy to meet and talk to, discuss with other athletes, commissions, and make this thing growing.
Emma Terho, you're part of the IOC Athletes Commission. Within the IOC Athletes Commission, the Russian doping scandal was a big topic, also a controversial topic. And the IOC said that they wanted to put athletes in the center of decision making. Do you feel like things have changed starting from the Russia decision?
I think, first of all, I do agree with both of the previous, or what both said, that athletes are being more concerned about issues that are related to them. And I think that's a very good thing, and only a positive thing, because athletes do make the sport. So of course they're the main stakeholders, and I think their voicing their opinions is something very positive. It has been it's like things obviously don't happen overnight. And of course, the Russian case has been something that touches a lot of athletes. But I think that even starting from a period longer back, there has been some steps made within the IOC where the athletes have been working inside the organization in order to get more positions and more power and more voices within the organization. It has been starting from forming the athletes commission in the first place, of course, but then constantly like trying to within the organization find the ways to get to spots where athletes could have more influence.
Talking about influence, also in the IOC, athletes, maybe as an explanation for the listeners, have one vote on the executive board, one vote for all of the athletes in the world. Would you say that you're happy about the pace of changes towards athletes and for the promotion of the athletes' voice within the IOC?
I think it's the key is that in all the IOC commissions and all the working groups, there's a member of the athletes commission or an athlete member, which means that athletes have a say in shaping the decision already a lot before it does get to the executive board. There's a total of 15 IOC members as athletes, so that's actually as many as there are representatives from the international federations, for instance. So I think there has been initiatives that we've been pushing for, like a Career Plus program for the athletes, and recently pushing for the athlete mental health issues. And a big thing has been that the Athletes Commission initiative, such as a medal reallocation process, where an athlete can choose from different options on having a medal ceremony paid by the IOC. So I think there are still ways to go, but I think there has been some positive steps. But I think there is a place for different kind of athletes groups.
Mm-hmm. Becky has her own experience with the athlete representation and also the athlete voice also within the IOC. Could you explain, were there times when you were told that you couldn't say what you wanted to say publicly, or was that, how would you explain?
So my experience, is with WADA more than the IOC. Yeah. So, and absolutely, I think one of the inherent constrictions and restraints that exists within organizations that have athlete committees is this maybe inability to handle or manage dissent. So when the athlete committee within WADA took a different position than the organization and the leadership around the handling of the Russian case, it started an incredible amount of friction and tension between the athlete committee and the leadership of the organization. And this escalated, and it hasn't really resolved itself, to be frank. So I think that has sort of led me to some reflections on athlete committees and how limited in a way they are when they exist within the institution. So when I look to Athletes Germany, for example, and the way they've become independent, I think in the end, that's probably, unless the organization is really interested in engaging and willing to listen and willing to be open to the athlete's perspective, then it doesn't really work. Because as soon as you come into a situation where there might be conflict or, dissent, that has to be managed. And so either you're outside the organization and voicing that opinion and working that way, or you have to be engaged in a way that's going to be constructive within the organization. But just shutting it down doesn't work.
So to put it in a nutshell, you would say that the IOC Athletes Commission and the WADA Athlete Commission should, in a best practice or of your vision, set free and get independent?
Not necessarily. I do think there's a place for athlete commissions within the organizations themselves. I do think that there is a lot of value that can be added and brought to the organization, but it's the organization that has to see that value and has to view that athlete commission as an asset and a body that's there representing their constituents. without athletes, there is no sport, or and no sport administrative bodies. So there has to be this inherent acknowledgement that these are people who are really there acting in the best interest and on behalf of the constituents that these organizations were set up to serve. And so I think, and I think there's lots of room across the landscape for different voices from athletes and different kinds of groups and representations. And I do think there is a place within the organizations for the athletes, as long as there is an openness and willingness to accept when there's dissent or when they don't necessarily agree.
So, Moritz Geisreiter, the German experience was that the Athletes Germany founded itself as a separate association, but still there is an athlete commission within the NOC. Let's take an example here. Rule 40. The German Athletes Germany wanted to talk about Rule 40 and loosen it up a little, a strict rule that regulates the marketing and sponsors related to athletes during the Olympic Games times. Could you have spoken up about it as frankly as you did if you had been an athletes commission within the NOC and not having the association that was independent? What difference did it make?
I think eventually we could not have spoken up that clearly and frankly, still being only the athletes commission within the NOC. In that very situation, basically, we were free to express our opinion, of course. But the steps that had been taken before and that had been motivated by real limitations felt because of the embeddedment within the NOC have led to the foundation of the association eventually. And so now it only makes sense that we express our thoughts on an issue like Rule 40 of the IOC, also in the name of the association Athleten Deutschland. It just reflects our consciousness for our own situation now as an independent association. So that just perfectly makes sense.
So, and you stayed within the NOC with your athletes commission in order to keep your ear on the boards, or you know, keep hearing what their discussion, or what was the point of that?
I mean, we are still in total cooperation with many groups of experts here. We are in cooperation with the DOSB, which is our NOC in Germany. And just like before, one representative of our group, of the athletes' representatives in general, sits on the board of the DOSB and is just in regular discussions and talks with them, just like that. Just the same, I am also on a board of the DOSB, so there is cooperation and there is working together on a whole lot of levels, and that's what we want to keep and expand even. So it's not about shutting down one thing to start a revolutionary other thing. But it just helps us to keep the cooperations we had so far and improve them with a little pressure, because now we also have the opportunity and the capability to grow beyond our NOC. So that just makes work for us more efficient and effective in both ways.
Emma Taro, could you have spoken up about Rule 40 as frankly within the IOC Athlete Commission?
I think there has been initiatives that has been brought up. It's kind of take some time to get it go through within the system. There was a lot of discussion about in the Athletes Forum, for instance, now also about Rule 40.
We have to explain real quick. The Athletes Forum was a forum with hundreds of athletes that the IOC initiated this year for the first time.
Yes, I think it is something that we need to work together with this kind of different athletes groups in order to get the views, how athletes have their own sponsorships and how they work with their own sponsors. I think it's of course need to have work done together, because it's not only a black and white thing. It's something that I do agree that it is a positive thing to get loosened, but then on the other side, we also need to make sure that it's done well, so that we're not harming the future of sport too much. I mean, keeping the balance between giving athletes opportunities, but then again, not totally opening up so that there would not be the top sponsors that are making it possible for a lot of different solidarity models, and also that there is a stage in the future also for the young athletes to come up to a stage where they can attract more sponsors. But yes, I think it is a good idea that, or it is a good thing that it will be loosened now.
Now that you brought up the athletes forum, there seems to have been many different points of view on that topic, for example, or also on revenue share, for example, for athletes. Is it a conflict of interest for you to having to promote the interest of the IOC as a member of the Athletes Commission, and also having to promote what athletes want? The IOC on the one side maybe doesn't want to give that much money away to the athletes directly and kind of wants to hold on to structures that it already has. So how can you position yourself in that maybe conflict of interest?
I wouldn't say it's that way, a conflict of interest. I would say that there's a kind of some sort of conflict of interest if you talk about an athlete coming from a really poor nations that would never have any chance to have access to a training facility or something like that, because that kind of athlete is dependent on the solidarity model. So I think there needs to be a balance between that kind of athlete and an athlete that is on the very top of his or her career that has a possibility to get funding from somewhere else. So that's kind of the, maybe not even a conflict, but needs to be a balance so that there's still going to be chances to distribute money so that in these countries the poorest athletes or the young athletes can have, through solidarity models, a way to work their way up in order to become to the position where they can attract sponsor money with the loosening of the rule. So I don't think it's a conflict of interest of the between the institution and the athletes. I think it's our job to think what or say what it we think it would be best for the athlete, even if it's not exactly the official view of the IOC.
Is this a problem of general, a problem of representation here? Emma just pointed out that there's athletes from all over the world who have different points of views on certain things. Some of them really stress points like Rule 40, because they're coming from different nations, maybe have a different understanding of democratic process and so on. Yeah, does this really come to the point where representation gets really hard, Becky Scott?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that we have encountered is this idea that there should be consensus across the board of all athletes. Like, all athletes should be sort of represented under one umbrella. And if you can come forward with consensus, then you've got a stronger position. But that's an impossible standard to attain, because, you know, you're talking about sport, which is across all nations, you know, across all kinds of different cultural, different sport, different gender. I mean, you're talking about an impossible standard to attain. So consensus isn't really, I shouldn't really be the ideal. And that's why I think when you look at the sporting landscape and all the forms of representation that are emerging, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to have diversity and diversity of opinion. And if we can land in some places where we have collaboration and there is some common positions, we can push forward and try to, you know, mobilize, such as Rule 40, because, you know, it was the athlete, Germany, who led this movement, but now there's other NOC athlete commissions that are following and have been inspired by this, you know, then change is happening. But this notion that, you know, that there has to be sort of this one unified voice, or that there's one body that speaks for all athletes, is really misguided and really an impossible standard to attain. So, you know, I think the sporting community has to recognize that. They can't expect, you know, this complete consensus of opinion from everybody, or that one body speaks on behalf of everybody. It's not realistic, and it's not even possible.
But how realistic is it, Moritz Geisreiter, for example, if you have a vote on a board and, you know, you have athletes' representation, you can vote, but then maybe you don't have to have consensus, but in the end you have to decide what you're going to vote on. How can you do it? I mean, isn't that one of the key problems here?
Yeah, I mean, that is one situation that we have to overcome. Becky just pointed it out, and I totally agree. As long as you give one voice to the athletes and expect them to like find that one voice that speaks for everybody, that's pretty hard to achieve, and that's maybe not even always fair, because I think there is no board that is always totally 100% that always does totally agree by 100% on one opinion. So as long as you expect and demand that athletes to express their voice, their opinion in one single voice, you kind of oppress the opinion a little bit. So I don't want to say that is tactics or techniques, but there is a state that should be changed in order to give athletes a real equal say.
You're hinting on it being tactics of the organizations or the federations themselves, that they don't want a strong athlete's voice, maybe on the international level, also on the national level, because that vote that is based on some sort of consensus can never be as strong. Is that what I'm understanding?
I cannot really imagine. I don't want to imagine that as tactics, because we are seeing now in these days that it's such a big and visible broad opinion that athletes are being more and more empowered and are taking more responsibility of their own development and their sport. So I think this is just a current situation that we are going to overcome anyways. So if it was a tactic, it would be a temporary tactic, because anyways, this is going to change, I think.
What makes you so sure?
These 2 days here, for example, I'm seeing so many people with the idea in their heads and on their tongue. Yeah, the athletes are gonna have to take part in shaping the sports world. That's a good thing. That's a challenge too. But that's what I'm just seeing and experiencing and smelling here.
Talking about internationalization, Becky Scott and Emma Taro have their experience with it on international boards of international organizations. Maybe the question to Becky Scott: it seems like there have been a lot of calls about these athletes' movement to really come together and form something on an international level. Is the biggest challenge for an international level that then you again have to represent so many different points of view that this is so hard to really create or come up with? Or is this just your thought about there just can't be any consensus?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. And whether or not it'll happen in practical reality is another question. I think that diversity across, you know, cultures and around the globe in terms of the many different kinds of athlete experiences that exist out there can actually be seen as an opportunity. So while And I'm speaking really from my platform in anti-doping, because we do have a very diverse, actually, athletes committee who've come from all different corners of the world. And what we find is we're often learning and discovering, you know, things and common threads that we can build on and build a platform from because of these experiences. So whether or not, you know, we end up with a big international body of representatives of athletes, I don't know. I don't know really what the future holds. I think it is what's been started right now, the within nations and within IFs and NOCs is a very good place. And when you can find common points to collaborate and common platforms for which to, you know, push points forward, that's a great thing. And maybe, you know, that's a good start for now.
You talked about during this conference a cycle of ineffectiveness that was kind of baked into the athletes' commissions. Can you explain what you meant with this? Because I think this could maybe also be a link to your thought on really, you know, getting together internationally. So maybe you can elaborate a little bit on this.
Yeah. So when I spoke about that, I was speaking from the experience of having seen a lot of various NOC and IF athlete commissions just largely exist as token boards or token commissions within organizations, because they haven't really been given the tools to be effective and to engage in a meaningful way within the organization and to be able to contribute as they can. And this is not the fault of the commission or the athletes, but I think of the organization and the structure that they've been set up to exist within. And so I feel like that's changed to some degree, but it's been changed by the people who are in these commissions and who have actually had the initiative and the wherewithal to bring that change about, not because the organizations have set them up to succeed. And it's unfortunate, because I think, you know, athletes are the least conflicted people at the table. They are the people who are the most sincerely, genuinely there because of the interest of the sport and the constituents they represent. So when organizations recognize that and they recognize the value and the benefit to their whole structure that an athlete commission or an athlete committee can bring is when I think positive things and real positive change will happen.
Emma, do you have an idea how athletes can put more leverage on their demands and on their voice, not only within the organizations, but also outside?
Yeah, I think it's important that the athletes are, there's going to be certain topics that are very local, and I think there's a different way of handling those because you can't compare even in, say, Western countries, there's going to be differences, very much, very big differences from country to country and even from sport to sport. But then, yes, I think leveraging with having in certain topics, we need to find out ways to have kind of a worldwide athlete discussion on certain type of topics and then also make sure that take advantage of athlete groups that are specialists in some things in order for even improve something in your own country, like even nationally, like asking from the expert from WADA, EC, regarding some anti-doping things or things like that. So there needs to be a network where you can connect with different athlete groups. In the IOC, we try to do it with liaisons between, but then we need to know that there are going to be certain issues where you could seek help from other athlete groups.
Mordsgeisreiter, what would be your best possible scenario in your head for more leverage for athletes' demands?
The education of young athletes. I think the athletes that are young now are just about growing into a generation that we are experiencing here now. So it is becoming more and more normal for athletes to speak up, and not only speaking up in terms of revolution and shouting and being angry, but just to construct and shape together with their own sports federations and bodies. And I think the educational part that comes into play here is that it's going to be more and more normal for young athletes to see this and to grow up with this within their sport. And I think this is in combination with the development that we are experiencing and witnessing right now, the most powerful leverage that we can think of. So we just have to continue going this way and let young people see, young athletes see which way we are going. And I think they're going to follow us.
And last but not least, Becky Scott, I mean, you're in an organization that has been criticized a lot for its structures, and it looks like there might be some changes coming. So what would be your wish for the future and for more leverage?
Yeah, I think this organization in particular, you know, with its primary stakeholder being athletes, really needs to embrace the idea of athletes coming to the table and being increasingly engaged in the conversation and being factors in the conversation. So I think that we're not there yet. We're not even close to being there yet. But as the organization evolves, I think there has to be a recognition of the value of the athlete's voice within the governance. And until that happens, I think there will probably continue to exist this tension. But when athletes know and have confidence and trust that there is a, you know, strong representation for them at those tables, advocating on their behalf, strictly for athletes, then things will change.
This was the Deutschlandfunk Sports Talk. Thank you to my guests, Mordsgeisreiter, board member of Athletes Germany, Emma Terho, member of the IOC Athletes Commission, and Becky Scott, outgoing chair of the WADA Athletes Commission. I'm Marina Schweitzer. Thank you for listening.